A beautiful special. Thank you, sister. But I wanted to say that, you know, as we all come and we gather today, one of the things that I can almost guarantee that we all have noticed is the changes that are taking place outside of us and the weather and how things are starting to heat up. And so we're making adjustments for that and trying to gear ourselves up for the long haul of summer to come. But, you know, I kind of look at that and I put that, you know, in my mind to where, you know, we need to be doing the same things within inside of ourselves for the Lord. We need to be looking at those things to come and changing our ways and those things that we're falling short in. And one thing that we can count on is that the Lord never changes. And so I'm inspired today and confident that the Lord has placed a message on our brother's heart to be able to give us and to help us be able to see some of those things within ourselves to change. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our brother, Jerry Case.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Laura. That's actually a favorite song of mine. Used to listen to that a lot when we lived out in Ohio. so thank you. I didn't know you messed up either. My prayer today, well, for one, is that my voice will hold out. I kind of have the allergy thing going on too. But my prayer today, because this sermon, I know what it is, but exactly how to present it, I've got to depend on the Lord for that. And so I'm a little uncertain. So we were out in San Diego last week, and we were out walking close to the beach, and I heard a sneeze, and it sounded exactly like Debbie. And I thought, wow, I didn't know there was another one in the world. Or can you hear it here? From Arizona. Thank you for that special. I want to talk about being prepared, and maybe in a little different way than we think of it ordinarily. However, I want to talk about it in a way that's absolutely necessary. And it pertains to every single one of us individually. It's not just a group thing. You can't just get on the bus and ride. It's about work we need to do. It's about being prepared. There's a commercial that's been on TV recently. Life comes at you fast. And it's really true. It's really true. One of the scriptures that's been on my heart, 17th chapter of Matthew, you also find it in the 9th chapter of Mark. So let me read it and then kind of explain what I'm trying to get at. So 17th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to start with verse number 19. Here Jesus was walking. He was traveling with his disciples. And Jesus had a way when he was with them that he was always teaching them, always giving them a new lesson, always bringing them along spiritually, something we all need. And here he was on the road again. He was talking with them, and that's when this happened. So I'm going to start with 17th chapter of Matthew, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast? Oh, no, I'm going to start earlier. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cursed, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised up." And they were exceeding sorry. I think about what happened here. I don't believe Jesus just said, "Well, you know, that this comes out only by prayer and fasting, and you weren't ready, and so I'll do it because I can do it anyway. I'm God." I believe Jesus is always trying to bring us along, make us more like him, and he was prepared. He had been doing the prayer and fasting. He was prepared, and now he's teaching his disciples that same thing. But I think of that preparedness, and that, you know, for this sermon this morning, it was put on the calendar, and I had time. I knew when it was going to be. I had time to pray about it, to prepare, to look up scriptures. We don't get to do that in life. And yet probably the sermons that people really believe, the ones that really touch them, are out there. It's in your behavior. It's in the things that you might say in a short moment. Wednesday morning, I was headed for work. And it seems like I'm always in a hurry when I'm headed for work. It's important to get there on time, and I don't know why. I feel like I'm always running late. And so I was cutting through the neighborhoods and trying to get to a light that lets you out onto Union Hills a little faster. And as I was cutting through the back neighborhoods, you know, I don't even think I saw her at first. But driving along through this neighborhood, I just started to register. There's somebody, and there was this little lady, an older lady, laying on her sidewalk in front of her house. And there was just blood all down her face and all over both hands and her robe, all over her pajamas, and all over the sidewalk. And, you know, you just have a moment because you're rushing by in a car. And it's not one of those things where you check your credentials. Yeah, you know I'm a nurse. So I don't, "Oh, yeah, I'm a nurse, it's my job." So I pull over. It would have been any of your job to pull over. And so I pulled over and got out, and I went to help her. And I just thought of how much life is exactly like that. You don't know the moment before the things that are important that you're going to face. And you need to be prepared. And that's what I want to talk about. I have a scripture I'd like to read. This is about Ammon and King Lamoni. It's in 12th chapter of Alma. It's on page 371 is where it starts. Or where I'm going to start. It starts before that. But here, Ammon was, he had come to the king prior to this and said, I have come to serve you. And the king ended up believing him, that he was actually there to serve him, and he took him in and put him to work. And he had him guarding his flocks. And like I said, life comes at you fast. You know, that morning, does anybody know this story where Ammon was out guarding the flock and the bandits came to scatter the king's flocks? And if the one who's guarding those flocks lets the flocks be scattered, then the king puts them to death. I mean, it's also important personally to the shepherd. But, you know, he didn't get a call that morning. You know, hello? What? Bandits? What time? No, that's not going to work. I'm going to be in the middle of lunch right then, you know. Let's do it at 1 o'clock. No, there was no warning at all. The bandits just came. And Ammon, if you know the story, he withstood their attack. And in the attack, he ended up slaying several of the bandits, and several of them he smote off their arms. Kind of brutal, but the other servants of the king went to the king to tell him the story. And so, needless to say, the king noticed Ammon at this point. And so I'm going to pick up the story. Ammon, the king has brought Ammon before him, and he started asking him questions. And Ammon has started to answer according to the truth that's in him. He was prepared. He knew about God. And he began to tell the king about God boldly. And so I'm going to pick up reading at verse 111 on page 371. And King Lamoni saith, I believe all these things which thou hast spoken. Art thou sent from God? Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge, and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God. Now when Ammon had said these words, he began to the creation of the world and also to the creation of Adam, and told him all the things concerning the fall of man, and rehearsed and laid before him the records and the holy scriptures of the people, which had been spoken by the prophets, even down to the time that their father Lehi left Jerusalem. And he also rehearsed unto them, for it was unto the king and to his servants, all the journeyings of their fathers in the wilderness, and all their sufferings, and hunger, and thirst, and their travail, etc. And he also rehearsed unto them concerning the rebellions of Laman and Lemuel, and the sons of Ishmael, and all the rebellions did he relate unto them. And he expounded unto them all the records and scriptures, for the time that Lehi left Jerusalem, from the time Lehi left Jerusalem down to the present time. But this is not all, for he expounded unto them the plan of redemption, which was prepared from the foundation of the world. And he also made known unto them concerning the coming of Christ, and all the works of the Lord did he make known unto them. And it came to pass that after he had said these words, after he had said these things and expounded them to the king believed all his words. And he began to cry unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, have mercy according to thy abundant mercy, which thou hast upon the people of Nephi. Have upon me and my people. And now when he had said this, he fell unto the earth as if he was dead. And it came to pass that his servants took him and carried him unto his wife and laid him upon a bed. And he lay as if he was dead for the space of 2 days and 2 nights. And his wife and his sons and his daughters mourned over him after the manner of the Lamanites, greatly lamenting his loss. And it came to pass that after 2 days and 2 nights, they were about to take his body and lay it in the sepulcher, which they had made for the purpose of burying their dead. Now the queen, having heard of the fame of Ammon, therefore she sent and desired that he should come in unto her. And it came to pass that Ammon did as he was commanded, and went in unto the queen, and desired to know what she would that he should do. And she said unto, she saith unto him, the servants of my husband have made it known to me that thou art a prophet of a holy God, and that thou hast power to do many mighty works in his name. Therefore, if this is the case, I would that ye should go in and see my husband, for he is laid upon his bed for the space of 2 days and two nights. And some say that he is not dead, but others say that he is dead, and that he stinketh, and that he ought to be placed in a sepulcher. But as for myself, to me he doth not stink. Now this was what Ammon desired, for he knew that that King Lamoni was under the power of God. He knew that the dark veil of unbelief, listen to this, it's important. He knew that the dark veil of unbelief being cast away from his mind, and the light which did light up his mind, which was the light of the glory of God, which was a marvelous light of his goodness, yea, this light had infused such joy into his soul that the cloud of darkness, having been dispelled, and that the light of everlasting light was lit up in his soul. Yea, he knew that this had overcome his natural frame, and he was carried away in God. Therefore, what the queen desired of him was his only desire. I think about how badly we need this at all times. This is the work we need to have our mind on for our own personal soul. It's the preparation that needs to be in us. We need that darkness dispelled. We need to be awakened in God. We need to be close to Him. Therefore, he went in to see the king, and according as the queen had desired him, he saw the king, and he knew that he was not dead. And he saith unto the queen, he is not dead, but he sleepeth in God. And on the morrow he shall rise again, therefore bury him not. And Ammon said unto her, believest thou this? And she said unto him, I have no witness save thy word and the word of our servants. Nevertheless, I believe that it shall be according as thou hast said. And Ammon said unto her, blessed art thou because of thy exceeding faith. I say unto thee, woman, there has not been such a great faith among all the people of the Nephites. The Spirit of God is powerful. I have a good memory of a reunion that I went to in Yucatan, and being 10 minutes till time to start the reunion, one of the families came to Placido, and I get a kick out of their timing. I guess that's all I'm really saying. They had a lady that they needed him to come and administer to, and so here, 10 minutes for the reunion to start, we got in the car and we went down and we talked to this lady a long time and administered to her and then sang 5 songs. And then we went back to the reunion and started it up. But after the reunion, another family came to him and they had a young man. It was their father, their son-in-law, I believe, that wanted Placido to come and talk to him. And this is what I want to say about the touch of the Holy Spirit. This gentleman did not look like a regular churchgoer as we know it. You know, he had the shaved sides of his head and the tall hair in the middle and pants kind of way low, shorts, baggy pants, tattoos all over and piercings and so forth. And he is sitting in this chair, and he's got his elbows on his knees, and he's just smitten with something. And Placido asked him what was going on, and he opened his Bible, and he said, I opened this up, and I read something, and it did something to me. Where is it? I can't find it again. And Placido is a very patient person. He talked to him for a long time and tried to teach him that that could happen anywhere you open the Bible. It's about the touch of the Holy Spirit. That's what you experienced, and it is powerful, and it's real. And it was good for me to see this happen. I it was just a demonstration that when the Holy Spirit touches you, it is so powerful. It is so concrete that it's like for him who didn't really know a lot, for him, well, you know, if something could do that to me, then that preacher, he's going to know right where that was, you know, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But Placido, you know, stayed with him, and he taught him, and then they were going to be getting back together, you know, as we left. But we need that closeness with God. We need it to face everything. It happens without warning. When I'm at work, I have so many different people I see in a day. And they may be employees of my employer, but they're also my patients, because that's my job. I take care of the employees. And so many of them so distraught and in such deep need. And moment to moment, you don't know what's next on the pile. They just come at you fast. And I've had many opportunities to be able to speak of God with them. And it creates an ongoing relationship with that person once you do it. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. You know, what is it that prepares us? When we come together in the church, we do things like this, where we learn, we teach, where we call on the Lord, and we hear His word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us, that it will touch us and soak in so that it will apply to our life. But there's a point where the needs you have, you can't just call another meeting to fulfill that. You cannot finish getting close to God by just sitting in a pew. You hear, you begin to be touched by the Holy Spirit, and you start to commit. You can even go as far as being baptized and being a regular church attendee and still have a ways to go. I know that I went to college for years to become a nurse, and when I graduated, I had so much under my belt, so many things I'd been taught. But the first day I hit that floor again as a nurse was like day one again. It's just like you just keep learning. And the more, once you really become a nurse, it's almost like that's when the learning really begins. That's when it really begins. How do we face life and be ready for it? I want to turn to Hebrews. Fourth chapter. Here in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, starting with verse 9, it says, There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I believe what that's really saying is the word of God is the word of the one that sees right into our very core. No wonder this young man had such a reaction, whatever it was that he read. It cut deep into him. It saw clear through him. It knew him. And we need, as it says in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, chapter 14. We need to feast upon this word and to pray. This is so much about how we prepare. Chapter 14, page 163, starting with verse 1. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said to you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will teach you all things what ye should do. And I got to reflect back on the first verse. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. And that's part of what I'm trying to say to you. When the Lord leads us to Him, even to the point of commitment and being baptized and starting to go to church, It's like the beginning. It's what he's speaking here of the things we're supposed to be doing after we've entered in by the way. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew you all things that ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you, shall ye observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness. They will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. And I think about an experience I had with Amy. Years ago, she was going to, what was the name of that, Mount Vernon? Nazarene College. And she had to take a Bible class. And what did they talk about? Well, these are the Pauline Gospels, and these are the, you know, they had everything labeled and laid out, and it's like, when are you going to get to the Word of God, you know? It was just a funny experience for me when I saw what you were studying, and you would ask questions. You can become a great scholar in the Word of God and miss it. Miss what he's saying. And the key, the greatest thing is, you can't do this without prayer. And you can't do it without responding to what he tells you to do. You have to become what you're reading. That experiment of faith to do his will and to seek to know his will. You have to do that. You can't just read. Just study. And let me go on and finish this. Verse 10. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye will hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. For behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and faint not, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, and he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And I want to jump into, there's a couple different places I could go, but I'm going to go. To Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to make a point here. Matthew 6th chapter, starting with the 9th verse, I'm going to read through 18. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Jesus, in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Boy, if I could only read. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Yea, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We need more than the prayers we do together here at church. And I do mean more, because we need those prayers that we do together here at church. We need them desperately. But then we need to go into our closet. Into our closet, where there's just not that same chance that we get concerned about what people hear us say. For one thing, we can pray about things we would never say in front of other people. We can literally pour out our heart, and we don't have to care if it sounds stupid. We don't have to We don't have to care about, well, will I pray in the wrong order? Is this not the right way to pray? You just pour out your heart to God. You need to continue to pray at home. And if you, the other place I could have gone to read, I'm going to give you the scripture because I'd love you to go read it on your own. It's in Alma, the 16th chapter. Read about 175 to 185. And it just talks about how faithful God is to answer your prayers, to hear them, and to bless you, and to respond to what you ask, no matter where you are. In that instance, he's literally talking to people that were cast out of their synagogue. And so they had this feeling that they couldn't worship and they couldn't pray. And he said, well, then you don't understand the scriptures. Because they don't teach that. We need to enter into our closets and pray. And pray with all of our heart. When I was a child, I saw something that I guess being a child and kind of getting to grow up in church, it didn't excite me. It didn't upset me. But in church one time, I'm going to confess here, I broke the prayer rules. And I was, had my eyes open, and I was looking around during a season of prayer, and I saw a gentleman that was down on his knees and his elbows praying. I saw a man one time in the center aisle laid flat out praying. And to me, I simply thought it's just a reflection of what's going on between them and God right now. I didn't see it as something strange. Didn't think more about it. I'm not an advocate of that. And please hear me out. We got to be careful that we don't do what we do to be seen of men. And when you're at home in your closet, when you don't even have to think about what others might see or hear, you can pour out your soul in such a thorough way. And you might do that, but you won't have to worry about it. Not a bit. And I do say, if you do it here in church, you shouldn't have to worry about it either. It should be okay. But be very gently careful that you do things to be seen of men. It says they have their reward. I want to jump over into Messiah. This is in the third chapter. My time's getting away. I'll hurry. Third chapter of Messiah, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. It's on page 223 is where it starts. So, third chapter of Messiah, starting with verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin, I have to start over. So many of you are already know what I'm going to talk about here. You read this second chapter of Messiah, and the first chapter of Messiah, and you hear the things that King Benjamin spoke to the people. It is so incredibly powerful. It speaks not only of your belief, but what you do. And it explains how to do and why to do the Lord's will. But he's spoken these things, and that's where we're picking up, is after he's given this address. Chapter 3, verse 1. And now it came to pass that King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people. He sent among them, desiring to know of his people, if they believed the words which he had spoken to them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And this is the work that must be done on our individual souls. This is what prepares us for those unplanned, unseen things that come into our life. It could be a fiery trial that you have to go through. Nothing else could prepare you for this. It's when the Holy Spirit is wrought upon you and brings this mighty change in your heart so that you don't even have a disposition to react in the wrong way and to do evil, but only to do good continually. That is the preparation of which I speak. That is the preparation for walking out the door today and entering into the moments of your life. And let me turn over now to Alma, the third chapter. Page 314. Alma chapter 3, and I'm going to start with verse 11. Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken, and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosened? Were they loosed? I say unto you, yea, they were loosed, and their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? What is the cause of their being loosed from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I tell you, did not your father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God? And my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful unto the end. Therefore, they were saved. And now, behold, I ask you, my brethren, of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can ye imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of God saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God? I say unto you, can ye look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can ye look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenance? And I think of this mighty change in our hearts and how desperately it needs to be part of who we are, each of us, individually. And if you go on reading, you'll find that it speaks directly to those things that are part of the natural man. You know, what happens when you feel like you're doing a little better? Well, I don't know about you, but I can see a little better the faults in others. I feel pretty good about how good I'm doing. And it says here, if we are not stripped of pride, we are not prepared. It says if we are not stripped of envy, we are not prepared. And I believe that in the end, this work we do in becoming relentlessly, hungrily, closer to God individually will be the thing that unites us. I didn't read it. I read about Ammon coming to King Lamoni and the incredible things that took place there. And I didn't read all that account. I would recommend that you read, write this down. It's Alma, the 12th chapter. I began reading with verse 111, and I would read through at least 180 of that chapter. Incredible story. But right after that story is the story of Aaron and the work that the Lord did with him, with King Midoni. And I couldn't help but appreciate as he spoke the same way with King Midoni. King Midoni, he began to believe and accept the things that he brought to him. And he fell down on his knees to pray. And then he fell clear down on his face. Said he was prostrate before the Lord. And he prayed and he said, I will give up my kingdom. I will give up all my sins. And that's exactly where we have to be. We have to give up our agendas. We have to give up our power. We have to cast our crowns before the Lord. Give over. Give them to Him. It helps us to understand His Word. It helps us to face the little old lady on the sidewalk. It helps us to do a better job at work. Fortunately, not many of us have to guard the sheep from the bandits and cut people's arms off. But it's a good example that we have to be fervent and do the very best we can. And it's about the welfare of your soul. I hope that this has gotten across. I feel like there is tremendous hope in the fact we can do more individually, that we can go to God privately in prayer and just pour out our souls and ask for guidance and for help, and it makes a big difference. God takes action when we pray. This was not the easiest sermon for me to prepare, and so my prayer has been that the Holy Spirit would touch each of us and unite us today, and that He would bring it to your understanding and touch you so that you would be inspired to action, that you will go home and spend time with the Lord and seek to cast out all those things in your life that are hurting you, that are misleading you, that are, you know, some things aren't bad. They just take up all your time. The Lord needs to help us with our priorities. My prayers with you, and please pray for me.